This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Want to cheat in your multiplayer game? Fine, we'll just put you in Virtual Australia. Plus, the leaks just keep on coming. We have some supposed details on the next Xbox. Tonight is June 17th, 2012, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. All of you. Even if you're just a father to a cat or dog. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Father's Day edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com, head on over to our chat room. Just go to live.vognetwork.com, and you can join in the chat there, and also you can check in to the show and actually get points. 5 points. That's like a lot on the leaderboard. If you are a current registered VOG user during the show, on that chat page you'll see on the left, click here to check in. It's right under the announcement that the show is live. And you can get points and participate in our social game. The leaderboards reset every month. So, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, people who've been around since the beginning taking all the top spots, because you can start learning how to play now and then kick everybody's butt in July over at vognetwork.com. You may get loot sometime in the near future just for checking in to a show. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number. I promise I'm going to do that this week. Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me on our website, on my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com, or you can also contact me through VogNetwork.com, since I kind of help run the place. Last week was the E3 show, and there were some people that were very upset I didn't take their call, because we had a great call with Brandon Hofer, Shadow Next Gen, talking about E3. But E3's over. That's in the past. That's forever. That's 2 weeks ago in internet time. That's like forever. You know, now it's all about the new Retina MacBook Pro, which we're not going to talk about that either. What I am going to talk about, though, is an iPhone game, or an iOS game, really, that I've been playing a lot of. And I normally don't play these games, but this one I like. And this takes my life away, 2 minutes at a time. And it is the latest game from Nimblebit, which they made Tiny Tower and Pocket Frogs. This is Pocket Planes. I'm getting money, can you tell? Look, that's all that money that I've been getting from my Pocket Planes. So Pocket Planes, it's the latest. It looks like 8-bit graphics and stuff, but basically you're running an airline, and it's a lot more involved than running a tower. Tiny Tower. This one actually has more strategy involved than Tiny Tower does. Obviously, Zynga's going to make their version of this in a couple of weeks. It'll come out. But this is, it kind of reminds me a little bit, and I didn't play the game that much, but Aerobiz for the Super Nintendo, if you remember that. It doesn't play exactly the same, because obviously this is a freemium game, or, you know, free to play or whatever, where, you know, the game itself is free, and you can buy with real money more bucks, which help buy new planes, bigger planes, and stuff like that. And also can advance the game along. You don't have to wait the 23 minutes it takes to go from Boston to Calgary. You can just, like, spend a buck and get it there right away if you need the money quickly. But really, the way that you play the game is you set your planes off to go do stuff, and then you leave, and then you come back later. So it's not one of those games, like, in the beginning, yes, you're going to be sitting there probably playing it for, like, an hour or two straight while you're learning the things and you level very quickly. But then just like in Tiny Tower, the farther you get in the game and the longer your flights are, you'll basically just go in, set all the flights, set their flight path, and then leave and go do something else and be more productive. So it's really the sneakiest type of game addiction are these nimble bit games. But Pocket Planes is now out. They even have kind of a leaderboard type thing where you can join a flight crew. Basically, there are events that occur around the world, and they're shared events from the server. And basically, it ranks you based on how many people you get, or how many people and how many supplies you can get to that area. The one recently was up in Calgary. There was a chemical spill. So, like, all these doctors and first aid supplies and stuff were all being ferried in from around the country, probably the world. They ranked how many of those people you actually got to Calgary, and then that's done, and now there's something, it's like some, I think it's in Brisbane. I don't have any planes going to Brisbane, so I'm not going to be participating in this one, but it's over in 3 days. They also have other events that really get in the way of things, such as, you know, like a freak snowstorm. And so if you have any planes in a city that has a snowstorm in it, you can't do anything with them. And, I mean, the snowstorms last like an hour. Sometimes there'll be a thunderstorm that'll last 20 minutes, and that's 20 minutes of real time. And you can't spend bucks to get through that. But once you figure out, it seems overwhelming and daunting at first, but once you figure it out, yes, it's just as addicting as Tiny Tower was for a while. And right now I am beating Rob. My airline is better than Rob's right now, so I got that claim to fame. And Sky, Rob Roberts in chat says, I didn't see any of that stupid event because all my airports are on the West Coast. Well, Calgary's also on the West Coast. Plus, the flight crew thing is really buggy for me. Yeah, it doesn't show the names or anything, and so it is kind of buggy. And I didn't win in our flight crew. One person got more than me in our flight crew. I was able to buy across to Calgary. So I have, like, all these East Coast, U.S. East Coast things. And then, like, I have all these hops to get over to Calgary so I could participate in the event. D5T asks, is there hour-long delays on the takeoff tarp? Actually, you can do that. And you can also, like, strand passengers at other airports, their layovers. But they don't really get irate. It does have the BitBook feature, which is the kind of like their Facebook, and they actually just put, it's all tweets and stuff. And in this time around, you can actually like tweet these tweets and stuff. I actually did that a couple times. You can actually tweet pictures from inside the app. It integrates with the iOS integration. I guess in the future, it's going to integrate with all that Facebook stuff that they announced at WWDC this week. And no, DC Nate, I'm not going to talk about Retina stuff. So Pocket Planes, I do recommend it. It's free. So, you know, You can give them money if you want. I was almost going to give them money just because I didn't give them any money for Tiny Tower, and I feel that I feel that NimbleBit's worth my $5, but I haven't needed the 200 in-game bucks that $5 buys you yet. So I probably should get on that. So let's get into some news going on in the gaming industry. This is one thing that I actually I think this story was posted like an hour ago, and I added it at the last minute, and it's because I know that somebody's going to be talking about this, and somebody's going to be wanting to, you know, have me bring this up and say, oh my God, these people are stupid. Oh, they hate games and all that stuff. Really, this is a story of a Reddit user with an agenda making the world believe something happened that didn't happen. The Escapist reports that the sensational trial of mass murdering Burke, I guess that's, I don't know what Burke is, but that's what they say. Anders Behring Breivik has fueled a glut of anti-video game moral panics, largely due to Breivik's claims that he used Call of Duty to rehearse for the 2011 Norway terrorist attacks that left 77 dead. Now it turns out that the expert psychiatric witnesses called to testify on his moral state, mental state, not moral state, but mental state, are a bunch of game-hating moral crusaders, as the following quote seems to prove, unquote. I would still like to point out that sitting alone in your room and playing games, no matter the scope of the matter, call it addiction or whatnot, is not normal for a man in his 20s, unquote. That was a translation of the original story. So, you know, juicy, right? You know, oh, you know, what are they thinking? Anti-video game nonsense, racks up hundreds of angry comments and all that stuff. You know, basically saying, hey, if you play games and you're a man in your 20s and you play a lot of games, you're not normal. That's not normal. You are a menace to society. Sadly, that's not actually what was said. The quote actually comes from an Agenda Publishing Reddit user whose sloppy translation work was picked up by several gaming websites. So according to secondary and tertiary sources, the translation is either hilariously backhanded or deliberately misleading. The psychiatrists, can't speak tonight, that were actually on the stand were not implying that gaming itself was abnormal for those under 20. It was quite the opposite. They make it clear that one can be completely normal and play games, but argued that the fact that this guy was capable of playing a socially involved game doesn't prove he's not a complete nutcase. They did admit that gaming for more than 14 hours a day could constitute as an addiction, which is true. I mean, if you play for over 14 hours a day and can't stop, yeah, that's an addiction. So, yeah, so everybody's going to be like, oh, you know, there's people on the stand saying that you're not normal if you play video games. That's not what happened. That's just, it's more the internet having an agenda. So let's say that you are not a normal person. You do play games a lot, and you like to cheat in games a lot. We're going to send you to a virtual Australia. Rockstar Games has posted the following on their website. They say that we're aware that a small minority of players are spoiling the Max Payne 3 multiplayer experience for honest players with cheats and hacks. And while certain issues will be dealt with in the forthcoming title updates, today we'd like to make it clear that anyone using these nefarious methods will be dealt with. Anyone found to have used hack saves, modded games, or other exploits to gain an unfair advantage in Max Payne 3 multiplayer or to circumvent the leaderboards will be quarantined from all other players into a cheaters pool, where they will only be able to compete in multiplayer matches with other confirmed miscreants. In the event that they decide to absolve any of these cheaters for their past transgressions, they may re-enter play with the general public. However, a second event will result in their indefinite banishment. In either case, we'll be removing invalid leaderboard entries to ensure that the players at the top of the charts have earned their spots fairly. So, and they also asked, you know, don't post things online. There was an email address over at rockstargames.com that you can email. And also, they do not ban players for using legitimate tactics to which some players may object, such as camping. And if you're experiencing in-game harassment over voice chat, block the player and report the gamer tag or PSN ID directly to Microsoft or Sony. So basically, now if you cheat, instead of, you know, banning you from playing the game, you're just going to play against other cheaters. So everybody wins. That's my thing, I guess. Everybody wins. If you're cheating, you can still play online against other cheaters. And the people that aren't cheating don't have to worry about cheaters in their games. The only thing, I guess, you know, maybe the cheaters will be upset because the reason they cheat is to have that advantage over the normal players. So I can see that being an issue, and, you know, I guess on PSN they can just keep creating new PSN IDs every time they get sent to Australia. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, so basically they get the Battle Royale condemned treatment, works for me. The thing that I kind of wonder is now, you know, is that going to be the preferred place to play? Are people now going to purposely try to get on the radar to get to that cheater's paradise? So usually we don't talk about rumors all that much, but this one was pretty juicy, and it could be a hoax, it could be a real leak, not sure which, about the next Xbox. And Polygon has reported that while it's clear Microsoft isn't planning to introduce anything this year, all signs indicate for a 2013 launch in the cards for its next console. Now, there was a newly leaked 56-page document, could be a hoax, could be real, shed some light on the company's plans for what it calls the Xbox 720. So, yes, Microsoft is actually calling it the Xbox 720 internally. I've always tried to avoid the term because, that's just what people assume it's going to be called. But they're actually calling it the Xbox 720 internally. So the presentation appears to be from August 2010 and references future improvements like the Smart Glass, the Metro Dashboard, and Xbox TV apps. Alongside the incremental 360 updates, Microsoft has a clear vision for the next-generation Xbox 720 console. So here's the best bits, according to Polygon. Microsoft outlines a competitive differentiation for the next-generation Xbox, including support for Blu-ray, native 3D output and glasses, concurrent apps, and additional sensor and peripheral support. Alongside a promised 6x performance increase, there's also mention of true 1080p output with full 3D support and an always-on state for the console. EPA rejoice. A slide on core hardware indicates that the next Xbox will be designed to be scalable in the number of CPU cores and their frequencies. Microsoft seems to have been debating whether to use 6 or 8 ARM or x86 cores clocked at 2 GHz each, with 4 gigs of DDR4 memory, alongside 3 PPC cores clocked at 3.2 GHz each for backwards compatibility with existing Xbox 360 titles. So hardware backwards compatibility with your 360 library. We'll see how long that lasts. Dungeon Buster in chat over at VogNetwork.com says, every time I hear Xbox 720, I keep thinking about that skating game, and I do too. Microsoft positions the Xbox 720 to be the only box needed for living room entertainment in that document. Yeah. Providing background recording functionality for TV content, and a unified Windows 8 foundation to make it easier for application developers to build apps that target Xbox, PC, and Windows Phone. Illustrations of the 720 throughout the presentation make it comparable in looks to an old set-top box, but appear to be just a concept design used in 2010. Yeah, it's not going to look like that. Microsoft rounds off the document with a promised price point of $299 with its Kinect 2 hardware and a prediction of a 10-year life cycle with more than 100 million units sold. 10-year life cycle. We'll see about that. The next iteration of Microsoft's Kinect accessory, or they call it Kinect 2, appears to be an incremental improvement over the current hardware. Microsoft references higher accuracy, stereo imaging, improved voice recognition, support for four-player tracking, it can only do two right now, an improved RGB camera, and dedicated hardware processing. One particular aspect of the leaked slides is a focus on four-player gaming and Kinect props. There's a reason I'm going to be bringing that up. Quote, in Kinect version 2, we can continue to go beyond controllers and offer peripherals and accessories that heighten game immersion, unquote, reads a note section on one of the slides. The Kinect accessories idea appears to be one that is not designed to replace controllers but will allow devices to interact with the sensor. Microsoft's plans for four-player Kinect gaming reference carnival, darts, and basketball games as a broad way to use the new tracking. So Kinect 2 is going to have support. Well, basically, here's the thing about Kinect 1. The reason the Kinect you have now, if you bought one, is limited in the imaging thing is because they had to conform to the USB spec. Because they had to have it work with all models of the Xbox 360. So they had to conform to the USB bus speed of the original Xbox 360 that came out in November of 2005. So they had to make it work with 7-year-old hardware. Okay? Kinect 2, obviously, is going to connect directly to the Xbox 720, I guess, with its own proprietary cable and connection. So it can actually do a lot more. The Kinect you have now is actually capable of a higher resolution camera. It just can't send that data over the USB bus to the Xbox 360 because it's not fast enough and they can't make it work without breaking older Xboxes. The Kinect 2, they can actually up the resolution and you know, add more things to it and have more things happen with the Kinect device because they're not worried about the limitation. The speed limit of USB 2.0 is not what they have to adhere to. The thing about the Kinect props is kind of interesting because there was a guy, he listened to our shows years ago, right when Kinect was launched. So, you know, we're talking a couple years ago. And he had never, he probably still hasn't actually played a Kinect game. But he felt, you know, he was a computer science undergrad, and so he knew everything about computers. And he said that, you know, Kinect will fail unless you use what he called Kinect swords, which are basically props. And here it is in the design document. So he'll probably claim that, you know, they read his undergrad paper or whatever and implemented it. I think it was just one of those things they couldn't handle that type of stuff over the USB speed that they had previously. Microsoft also lays out a roadmap for its Fortaleza Kinect glasses, which appears to be a research project that the company is working on. There's little mention of the hardware involved, but the glasses appear to be Wi-Fi or 4G enabled and incorporated augmented reality in a way that's similar to Google's Project Glass augmented reality glasses. Described as a breakthrough heads-up and hands-free device, Kinect Glasses is marked as a 2014 product that won't launch aside the Xbox 720 console. Microsoft does not provide any specifics about how the glasses will work on the Xbox, but they do appear to be designed to be mobile for use away from the console. And in case you're wondering about the validity of this document, the leaked document has been removed. Clicking through on Scribd, which was where it was hosted that morning, only shows that it was removed at, shows a note that it was removed at the request of Covington & Burling LLP, an international law firm that lists Microsoft as one of its clients. Blender asks, so Kinect is getting a Move controller? I don't think it's getting a controller. I think what they're doing is they're going to be able to create props that Kinect will recognize. So, yeah, it's kind of like a Move controller, except all the props are going to be different, and I guess the props can do different things. I can see them doing things like that. So, but I mean, if a lot of that's true, I mean, I can that is a logical progression of where they would be going, especially with Kinect. The glasses thing, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, but that could be the next second screen technology that we see. You know, because they're doing then the document apparently also talked about smart glass, which we now know is correct, and the Xbox TV apps and the new dashboard interface. All that stuff was lined out in this document that have now come true to the Xbox 360. So it's exciting to see where it's going to head. I'm looking forward to seeing if this is going to be real or a hoax, but I mean it is a logical next step. So speaking of being banned or banning things, Game Politics reports that Florian Mueller, patent law expert and proprietor of the wonderful website FOSS Patents, passed along a note saying that the Federal Trade Commission here in the U.S. Recently sent a letter to the International Trade Commission asking the organization to please fix the Mass Effect 3 ending. I mean, to please ask, they asked the organization to not ban the sale of the iPhone, iPad, or Xbox 360 related to complaints filed by Google. The agency urged the ITC to consider the impact of banning products from Microsoft and Apple on U.S. consumers. While the ITC's investigations have produced preliminary findings of violations against both companies that favor Google, the final decision will be made by the six-member coalition, commission, condition, something like that. The five-page letter urges the ITC not to impose any kind of remedies that might be in conflict with the public interests of consumers in the United States, such as product bans. It also offers plenty of alternative methods for dealing with the situations caused by the patent disputes, like forcing all parties involved to engage in some sort of mediation to resolve the issue and for those offending parties to make a good faith offer on any royalty payments that they have may have been determined to owe. So the FTC is, you know, because the International Trade Commission, they're looking at, you know, the Google and the Motorola patents and all that stuff. And, you know, they've already tried to banned or put forth the order to ban the Xbox 360 in Germany, which I think is being appealed right now. So it's not actually been banned yet, but it's in the appeals process. And they have recommended that this also be done in the United States. And basically what it is so they can't import into the United States. So, you know, it's not banning the sale of them in the United States. It's banning the importing of them into the United States. Now, the problem is there is not a single iPhone, iPad, or Xbox 360 that is actually built in the United States. They are all built in, I think Mexico does a lot of Microsoft stuff, but China also, is Foxconn out there. They do all the iPhones, all the iPads, all the things. They build all the things over there at Foxconn in China, and then they send them to the U.S. So basically, they could build it, but you can't bring them into the United States. So that's why this is a big deal. It's because there's no building factory or anything in America, in the United States, that builds any of these products. So you say that they can't be imported into the United States, well, then no new Xboxes, no new iPhones, no new iPads will come into the United States. So that's why the FTC has said, you know, that this would not be good for the public consumer, whereas the ITC initially said that, this outweighs the public consumer. These patents being violated, that's more important than, you know, public consumers not having a choice between Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and only being able to play the PlayStation 3. So the last news story I'm going to go through, because we've been covering this, and I was actually mentioning this. I'm like, why is this not a criminal investigation yet? But it's the state of Rhode Island. I think I've talked more about the state of Rhode Island and things going on in the state of Rhode Island in the past couple weeks more than I have my entire life. Probably this is probably not the way that you want to make a mark on somebody's brain is through this. But it's about 38 studios and Kingdom of Amalur and Project Copernicus and all that stuff. We've been talking a lot about it, about how you know, they failed to pay their loan, and then, you know, now apparently they're, you know, mismanaged the homes of the people they relocated from Massachusetts to Rhode Island. I'm like, this should be a criminal investigation. I mean, when does it get to be a criminal investigation? Well, Gamma Sutra reports that the situation surrounding the financial downfall of 38 Studios continued to worsen this week as state and federal law enforcement agencies sent subpoenas to the various parties involved. The Kingdoms of Amalur publisher declared bankruptcy earlier this month and failed to secure financing from the state of Rhode Island or outside investors to continue its operations. The Rhode Island Economic Development Corp. and the Bank of Rhode Island both have now received subpoenas with orders to testify about the lead-up to 38 Studios filing for bankruptcy. The former handled the $75 million loan guarantee that Rhode Island gave to 38 Studios, while Bank of Rhode Island gave loans to two companies controlled by Michael Corso, a Providence tax credit broker, who used state tax credits he agreed to buy from 38 Studios as collateral. 38 Studios never actually received those credits. In particular, the state is attempting to find the truth why 38 Studios struggled to pay its staff and why some employees were left with second mortgages. There's actually a good there's now a post. It's kind of like the old EA spouse post, but now it's the, you know, the wife of a 38 Studios person. They moved, I guess, from across country, like just a couple months ago, and now they're really screwed, and they don't know what they can do. And, you know, two kids and all that stuff, and, you know, it talks about, okay, you know, he wasn't paid at this point, and then, you know, he kept going into work saying, you know, they were like, oh, well, we'll pay you today. Then he started working from home because he couldn't afford the gas to get into work. It's a very, very terrible story from somebody that's directly affected, and, you know, it's a good read if you go look for it. The Boston Globe also reports that the Rhode Island-based Citizens Bank filed a lawsuit against 38 Studios founder and chairman Kurt Schilling last week, seeking to recover $2.4 million in loans it provided the company. It's suing Morgan Stanley Smith Barney II, where the bank believes Schilling has financial accounts. This news follows moves earlier this month from the Rhode Island State Police, State Attorney General Office, FBI, and U.S. Attorney's Office, who launched a joint criminal investigation into goings-on at 38 Studios prior to the collapse. So this did, as I predicted, as I said it should be, is turning into a criminal investigation about how 38 Studios handled the money, how the state of Rhode Island handled things, and it's a political ploy, I think. A lot of it's political because the previous governor actually made the deal, and then the governor that's there now hated the deal. And, you know, a lot of people are thinking he just did whatever he could to make sure that it failed to show that, you know, the last governor was an idiot. And now there's 200 families out of work, and, you know, a lot of them have second mortgages now because 38 Studios didn't do that right. And so they're playing, you know, it's a political game, and now, you know, 200 families are struggling and not sure what they're going to be able to do next because there's no other game designers in Rhode Island. They're going to have to move again after just being moved. Degenerate Johnny in the VogNetwork.com chat room says, here's some news about Rhode Island. Miss Rhode Island won the Miss USA pageant. Good for her. There we go. We have some real good news out of Rhode Island. Congrats to Rhode Island. We're going to take a quick music break, and then I promise I'm going to open up the Skype line and our toll-free number. You can call in, talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, or if there was something last week that you wanted to call in about and we didn't take calls. We will take your call after the music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Hey, this is Blender, and when I'm not listening to Bobby Blackwell Show, I'm always on home trying to pick up on chicks. Excuse me one second. You look hot in that outfit. Okay, I'm back. Well, yeah, make sure you check out Bobby Blackwolf.
He types fast for using a controller, you know, especially in that outfit. I guess he has that in his in the saved thing anyway. But if yeah, that's Blender. He left that bumper. You too can leave a bumper. All you got to do is call our toll free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 and leave us a bumper about coming back here to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get a 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep, even if you cancel before the trial is over. So why not make anything your free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackwolf. Like I said before, Diablo 3, The Order by Nate Kenyon is up there. But, if you really want that silly gray shade whatever book, I think that's up there too. And I think that's one of the bestsellers. So you could get that if you really want it. I know some of you want that one. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in, talk about anything that you've probably had on your mind for the past 2 weeks while we haven't been taking calls. It's your turn to shine, your turn to participate here at thevognetwork.com. Also remember, if you are here for a live show, you can check in and get some points and get recognition for being here during the live stream, but also soon, we're talking like in the next like week or two, podcast listeners are going to be able to check in as well. But it's going to involve listening to the show and finding the passphrase somewhere in the show. So we're going to try this again. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
It's Jim Sally, guy.
Jim Sally, man. I'm sorry you got so depressed last week when I wasn't taking your call.
I was a little bit depressing, Bobby. Why? What happened, man?
You didn't go to E3.
I did go to E3, though.
Yeah, in your mind?
In my mind? Isn't that really all that matters, Bobby? It's where you go to in your heart that matters, you know what I mean? Hey.
Then I was there, too.
It's the thought that counts, right?
Yes. So what's going on, man?
Listen, Bobby, let's talk about the Xbox 720.
Okay.
We had a little discussion about. I could not recall. Did you mention anything about the disk drive option?
I mentioned that they were going to play. It was going to play Blu-rays, because that's what was in that leaked document. At least that's what was highlighted.
Wow! See, that's what I thought you said. I don't think that's ever going to happen. To be honest with you, I think as soon as you said Blu-ray, that's it. That whole article is fake.
Why is that?
I don't think there's any way Microsoft will ever bend and pay Sony that. I forget what it is. It's not a lot of money. I think it's like $6 a unit or something. It's low, whatever it is.
Well,
but you have to play. If you want Blu-ray on your device, you have to pay Sony for the right to have Blu-ray. You know what I mean?
Well, you have to pay the Blu-ray consortium,
well,
of which Sony is a member.
Come on. You know Sony's running that. You know Sony's taking all that money and laughing.
Not all of it. They're taking a portion of it.
As much as their tax accountant tells them they should be taking.
No, but they've got to do something because, you know, they need a higher density format than DVD because now the Xbox 360, the DVD format is kind of holding it back. So,
well,
yeah,
everyone,
I mean, even Nintendo's, even Nintendo's going to do the Blu-ray.
Listen, I would believe that Nintendo would do it because Nintendo is Japanese and they've never really been in this high media stage before. So it kind of makes sense that they would want to piggyback on Sony's Blu-ray success. I do not know. There's no way Microsoft's ever going to put a Blu-ray.
I think they will.
Come on, Bobby.
They have Blu-ray support in Windows.
Bobby, you're kidding me. Well, they have the support, yes. Of course they're going to have support for it in Windows. The same way they have Apple support in Windows, because they don't want their Windows machines to be GIMPed. But they be a GIMP in those 360s. You know they do. You know they do. It took like 3 years before I could play an AVI file through it. Mm-hmm. Remember how long it took us to put the USB sticks into the Xbox? Like, they gimp their consoles, guy. Gimpity, gimp, gimp, gimp. They're going to gimp it. There's not going to be no Blu-ray drive on it.
They're going to put Blu-ray, because that's the movie format. I mean, honestly, the conspiracy theory was the entire reason that Microsoft didn't black Blu-ray and backed HD DVD wasn't because they hated Sony. It's because Bill Gates wanted them both to fail. He wanted.
What are you talking about?
Basically, the conspiracy theory is that Microsoft backed HD DVD in the hopes that the split, that the two different formats would kill both of them and push more towards digital distribution.
No, I don't think so, Bobby. I think no matter what, they knew DVD was not going to be viable in the future for them. And they can either pick the format that doesn't give Sony money or the format that, no matter what, 100% will give Sony some money. And then Sony laughs about it all day long because they're getting money.
Doesn't get 100% of it. Sony's a part of a consortium.
Come on, you know they're getting the chunky change. Chugga-chugga change. Sony gives money for nothing.
And see, and here's the other thing that you're kind of missing a little bit. Is what, that the licensing is just to play the movies. So like the Wii U isn't going to have to play it pay that because it's not the Wii U's not going to play Blu-ray movies. That's the way it works with DVD. To play the DVD movies, you need to pay that licensing consortium. But to just have DVD data, you don't necessarily need to do that.
What?
That's wow. Why. Okay, now let me explain, okay?
But they're going to have a movie player on there, right? Like, they're not going to put it. Do you think they're going to
No. Do you remember? Do you remember, Jim Sally? Do you remember what the original Xbox did to have you play movies?
Oh, Bobby, you're right. I do remember. I had to go to the store, and I had to buy this stupid little thing that plugs into a controller and get a remote control, and then I was allowed to play movies.
And that controller is what you paid the license to play DVD movies on your device.
You're right, Bobby. I do remember that stupid gimpity gimp. You think they're just going to do that? Oh, Bobby, you're so smart. So that's why I call you Bobby every week.
That's right.
You know?
So I think I'm pretty sure there will be a Blu-ray drive in there. I think the Xbox will be capable of playing movies, but it may not be something that's in the console itself if they really are that averse to paying Sony. But I think that it will actually be included in the console. I think they're going to have the DVD playback and the Blu-ray playback, and those licenses are going to be in the console. And you pay for that when you buy the console.
Yeah, Bobby, you make some good points, man. I agree with you now. I take back all that garbage I said before.
But it made for interesting discussion.
It did. Listen, people, look. If you don't listen to the Bobby Blackwolf show, and you don't think that Bobby Blackwolf is one of the smartest people alive, then you haven't been listening to the Bobby Blackwolf show enough. Or too much.
Happy Father's Day, man.
Thanks, buddy, man. You too. Hugs and kisses.
Jim Sally left the station. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll-free in North America. DC Nate says, I didn't think about that. Maybe Blu-ray will be a nice microtransaction unlock tied to your Xbox Live tag, which means that you'll have to be online to watch a movie. But yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, the Wii U, everybody's going to go to the Blu-ray disc because that is now the accepted data format of high-density optical discs. And they're all going to go to it now, and, you know, if it has movie... I mean, the Wii U, they've said it's not going to have the movie playback. We already know that because it doesn't play DVDs either. We have another call here on the line. Bobby Black, we'll show you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Blender Bud.
Blender Bud, what's up, man?
Not much. How are you?
I am doing good.
That's good. Good to hear.
Yes.
Yeah, so since I'm 42, mm-hmm. and so I'm not normal, and I play video games.
No, you are. You are. That was, according to the Reddit user, somebody in Norway said you weren't, but they were wrong. You can actually be very normal, and it actually, they even like the actual quote, the real quote, when you get the real translation, is like, yeah, actually, it helps. You're cognitive, and you're actually, you know, have better hand-eye coordination, and even in social situations, you're able to, you know, be more social because you're used to the online social. It's not the same as a real person standing in front of you, but there's still real people that you're interacting with.
It kind of makes sense because there's a club that's on, mm-hmm. you know, and here I go back talking about PlayStation Home. Mm-hmm. They are actually a community that tries to help people with getting over social anxiety.
Yeah.
So they have people go around and they do scavenger hunts on PlayStation Home. And they, I need you to go get a picture taken with, like, five people dressed as pirates. Mm-hmm. So that's what they do is they go around the community and, cool. Do you got a pirate outfit? You know, and it teaches them to be more socially, you know.
Not be so scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. What the psychiatrist was saying on the stand was, if you play games for 14 hours a day, you might have an addiction problem, and just because you do play social games doesn't mean you're not a nutcase.
Oh, God.
And that's where he was going, which is absolutely true.
Yeah.
you know, I agree with both those points, but, you know, when you distill it down with the crappy translation of you're not normal if you're in your 20s and you play video games,
then
I mean, people are going to be outraged over it, but I'm not outraged over the actual quote.
Oh, there you go. And then there was something else I was going to touch on. I can't think of it. Cheater's Island.
Cheater's Island, yes.
And I do agree with your point of view on saying, hey, it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend of mine that just loves to do the glitches and, and the, you know, gaming. Like, for example, we were playing Red Dead Redemption, and there was a whole invincible mode that you could cheat and play. And most of the guys that I play with don't like it. You know, they don't think it's fair. But I could see where somebody like my friend, well, if he can go on a private server and do that, that'd be fine. You know?
I love invincible mode in single-player games.
Yeah.
It actually, like, yeah, I mean, it removes the part of, oh, my God, am I going to die when I turn around this corner? And it gives the fun back. Like, for me, I actually enjoy games more where I can be invincible and not worry about dying next time when I turn around the corner.
Yeah. So, well, this was in multiplayer on Red Dead.
And I think they did this on Red Dead because they were talking about how, you know, don't use the Red Dead Redemption email address for this. So I think they've done this before or something. But I think it's a win-win. The only people that are going to feel that they lost are the people that only cheat to have an advantage over the other players. So now if everybody has the same advantage, it's not as fun for the cheaters.
Yeah.
For a segment of the cheaters.
Rockstar has done that before because I remember when you had the old, like, in Grand Theft, I think Grand Theft Auto 4 has it too, but like San Andreas and Vice City, if you used any of the cheat games or cheat modes on during a game, it would corrupt your save file.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were allowed to cheat, but you weren't allowed to save your progress.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I'm perfectly fine with all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a win-win because, you know, people can still play online. You're just playing online with against people that have the same advantage as you do, and I'm all for that.
Exactly.
So real quick, tell us about the VOG Network Home Club that you started.
Well, what it is, basically, we had a big turnout last week. You were there.
I was actually there doing the lounge. I was doing the Running Man on the disco mat.
Yeah. And it's got a big turnout so far. I think we've got about 10 to 15 members that have joined up. And we are planning. I'm not going to get into too much detail for it yet, but if anybody's interested in joining the VOG Network Club, we are planning a very, very big event coming up next month.
Yes.
You know, and I don't want to announce it now or, you know, anytime soon because I don't want to steal our 10-year thunder. But and also Comic Con's coming up. But so far, it's looking pretty good. We're going to have a good time.
So basically, what you want to do if you have PlayStation Home installed, which you should because it's free and it's changed a hell of a lot. Look for you. It's kind of weird that you have to find it, but you can clubs and then search for clubs and just search for VOG all capitals and you'll see VOG Network in all capitals.
Exactly. I put it VOG Network. Basically, I listed in the forums how, if you're not familiar with how to navigate your menu on PlayStation Home, but basically all you do is go under the social tab and then go into clubs, and then there's a search mode that you can do. And you send me, you just go ahead and say you want to join the club, and as soon as I get on PlayStation Home, because it does message me onto my PS3, so I will definitely add you.
And you did a great job on it. You've got all these in-jokes from all the shows. You've got like a DDR machine over here, and you've got a talk show set and stuff.
Exactly.
So it was really neat to go through it. And there's arcade games, I think, that even have prizes.
They are fully, the arcade games are fully interactive. I think five or six inside the room. You can play each one. They're 8-bit games. The Cluster Puck game is really fun to play.
Yes, that's the one that I was playing. Yeah, that's the one I was playing.
And most of the game arcade machines do give your home user rewards.
And
I put in also a poker table, so if a bunch of you guys want to get together and go in and just play Texas Hold'em, you can do that. And then there's also the Minibots game in the back, which is Holmes' third-person shooter.
Oh.
And it's a lot of fun.
And by the way, guys, he did not curse. It is P-U-C-K, Puck. is in the hockey puck. He did not curse on the show. So, yeah, thank you so much for that. Rob Sky is in there right now. We are probably going to be doing some stuff with the home club as well, video things, maybe live video streams. We're also talking about doing some kind of recorded ones, putting up on YouTube and stuff. So thank you for that.
Hey, no problem. It's my pleasure. Like you said, you know, I'm a fan of VOG Network, and it was my pleasure to do this.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, man.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you. So that is it for the calls tonight. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VOGNetwork.com. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They have been around for 9 years, 51 weeks. It's Orange Lounge Radio. Next week is going to be a huge week for them, and so we like to check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We're here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing good. 9 years, 51 weeks.
And counting.
And counting.
And everyone's asking, what's the big twist going to be next week? What are you doing for the 10-year anniversary? And I'm kind of like, did you hear the 5th or 6th or 9th anniversary?
Yeah.
They're all the same.
Yes.
A couple of in-jokes and then the same old you-know-what.
So, and I just want to kind of explain, because we haven't actually really talked like this since VOG launched. Just, you know, you were out of town, or, you know, it was E3 and we didn't do the call. And I just want to explain to everybody what the last month has been like for me. It was a lot like this.
I'm going to wreck it. I can fix it.
And Rob is Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I'm just user end testing or whatever. User acceptance testing. That's what I'm doing.
Because I didn't write foolproof stuff in our admin.
You know what's funny? Stan is in the VOG Network chat room right now mentioning that it happens to also be Gay Pride next Sunday in many cities across the U.S. So our 10th anniversary show happens to be on Gay Pride weekend. Well, you know what? Doing this show for 10 years has made me very happy. I can't think of any better way to celebrate. Except we'll have our shirts on. Thank you very much.
That's good. And, you know, we're kind of keeping under wraps the stuff that's going to be going on there. You know, there may be webcams, there may be other stuff, there may be just a home party. We don't know yet.
Disco.
Disco, yes.
Disco's bit, I would never.
Yeah, you would.
Maybe a little bit.
So what's been going on for the past couple weeks, other than wrecking things?
It's been a lot of work on the VOG website. I mean, maybe not as much coding as you. It seems like every time I come on the IRC, you know, I could talk to you, but I'm coding. Yeah, I'm in the middle of coding. What should I code now, or what's on this list?
What am I fixing this time?
What I have to fix? Apparently Chrome, according to Twitter. Some folks are starting to raise a fuss about Chrome. And just so you guys know, the Chrome thing is Google's problem.
Yes.
Well, it's a feature for your protection.
And they're making it our problem.
And now they're making it our problem.
Yeah,
so.
Basically what we're referencing there is that the web player that we have on the site, which is HTML5, it's not Flash, Google has determined that the way that it works is not secure enough. So they are basically saying, hey, you know, we're protecting you by not letting the stream go through. So you cannot use our web player for the stream on Google Chrome because Google thinks it's too insecure.
But Google, you can't be responsible for other people's insecurities.
Exactly.
They need to learn how to take care of themselves. Dang it.
If we survived IE6, we can survive a little web player on some website.
But it works in IE. It works in Firefox. It works on the iPhone browser, but it doesn't work on the default Android browser for the same reason as Chrome. Because guess what? That's the Google browser.
And we'll explore options. Maybe there'll be like a little tiny button you can click that says, I'm a Chrome user, and it'll take you to a different player that will work because, you know, like a Flash player or something.
Right.
And then, of course, there is always the direct link, which I gave out on Twitter, which maybe I wasn't supposed to give the direct one. I think we had one at VOG Network that does referral, but what can I say? I'm going to wreck it.
That's fine. That just means that if we ever move, they're screwed.
Yeah, but, you know. It's temporary. I said it's temporary. Use it in a pinch.
So, yeah. So, we've got the game going on. People have been checking in at VOG, and you've gotten a lot of loot.
I have. You know, and at some point, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. At some point, the hosts will no longer be able to participate, or they'll be participating in a separate contest,
right? They'll be in a cheater's island.
Yes, we're all getting banished to Cheater's Island. But so for those that are upset that Travis has been dominating most of the month, although I think it sounds like Ossifer is who they need to pick their beef with now, that won't be a problem.
I have.
Oops. Hello, Echo. That's my, going to the main site.
Yeah.
I'm using Firefox, so it plays
no. It played no problem there.
Hey. Sorry, I had to peek at the leaderboard. I wanted to peek and see who was in first place. Travis somehow took the lead again. Look at that.
He probably checked in.
He must have.
So, but yeah, so we're planning on doing stuff because we still want to track, like, all the hosts and authors and stuff,
yeah,
but maybe not with everybody else. Because, I mean, it's still a game for us, too, and we haven't told a lot of people, like, how to get the loot. And Rob and I are not going to tell you how the loot pieces are gotten. Other people can tell you. But as you know, us as you know, GMs and stuff, we're not going to tell you. You're going to have to find out from other people or find it yourself when it just magically pops up. But I can tell you, next week you may get one, just for being here.
That's right. There might be special one-time things that you'll find out about very soon.
And we haven't talked about Wreck-It Ralph at all on the shows.
We completely forgot to mention it last week because of all the E3 madness was going on. That was kind of lost amongst all the E3 stuff, although I would say that was a good time to put it out, certainly. But yeah, it looks great. I mean, it's like somebody like us, the clearly psychopathic 20-year-old that's still playing video games, has a job at Disney and is making a movie. And let's just hope it's a little more Toy Story and a little less Mars Needs Moms.
Yes. So I'm excited for it. The game is actually kind of fun.
Yeah, they have the little game on the website that you can play, and I was hoping that they'd try to do a little more with it. Like I hate to say it, but it's the way everything's going. Like an iOS or Android app, or even it would have been really cool if they could have done like a virtual console or something. It's not like Disney doesn't have a branch that develops games, but I guess maybe according to some people, it's just not worth it to do it on the virtual console right now.
Yeah, well, and they're probably working on the real Wreck-It Ralph game.
That's true. Yeah, there probably will be some other tie-in game. But you know the classic 8-bit one will be like an unlock in it.
Right.
So
it may actually go through all the games or something that they have in there, because they've got your Call of Duty clone and all that stuff.
I could totally imagine the Wreck-It Ralph game being a bite of WarioWare.
Yeah.
Where Wreck-It Ralph ends up in all these different games, because that's kind of what the basis of the movie is, right? Because you have Jane Lynch and Halo and Sarah Silverman and the Sugar Kart Racers or whatever's kind of rip off of Mario Kart. So be interesting.
No, it looked interesting. So other than the Minecraft update, what are you guys going to be talking about this week?
How did you know we were going to talk Minecraft tonight?
I saw the news story and I'm like, I bet they're going to talk about the Minecraft update.
Well, yes, we might quickly talk about the Minecraft update. We want to talk about a lot of Wii U updates. There's been a lot of news post E3 about what they didn't show and what they might have withheld. It's very interesting. We also want to talk about a very interesting kind of financial. One company in trouble, possibly, for misleading financial investors on one of their products. I find that very, very interesting. Especially in light of criminal investigations against other companies, it's interesting to hear all this shady stuff going on in the game industry. I think we have a story on another big Japanese developer that's been taking a lot of crap from fans, and even one of the folks that works there who designed a very, very popular game talking about that they're showing no mercy. Very fascinating. It's the dark side of gaming tonight.
That's right.
Happy fun 10th anniversary next week.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to Loki.
Yes, happy Father's Day, Loki.
Thank you.
With a mouthful of Jack in the Box.
Om nom nom nom. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. You can check in there and get even 5 more points.
Well, I just said get it before Travis does.
That's right. There you go. Thanks so much, guys.
You as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I will not be going long, so don't worry, OL Army. It's we've already worked out that I'm going to probably be ending early, just so OLR can start as early as they can, as early as possible, because they're going to have a huge show, 10 years next Sunday night. But I might actually have a live interview next Sunday, so it may be worth it if you're a fan of point-and-click adventure games. It may be worth it to show up early for the opening band. That is me, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. voicemail or bumpers on our toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook at Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter as Bobby Blackwolf, or my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com, and VogNetwork.com is where you can be in our community. If you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatter. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ranma, Sky, The Rob D, VXJSONXV, DeBlue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Loki, Alvkin Engram, Bob, Coffee, Brad from Pod Culture, Broken Sidewalk, Burr, Cidabria, D5T, Degenerate Johnny, Drunami, Dungeon Buster, Eswat, Frisbee, Game Guru, Gamer Girl, Geovidea, GK128, Blender Bud, Infinel, Jim Sally, Matt Cube, Melted General, Mr. Atari, Niche, Noel, Raginator, Sean, SSJ100 Matt, Stan, Surtur, Taiki, Tigerclaw, Toagak, What Up G, William Murderface, and Skull King. So that is it for me. I am out of here. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And stay tuned for Orange Lunch Radio. 9 years, 51 weeks old today. Next week's going to be a big one. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.